Proverbs 16:25. You would also get out of your bulletin, there's an insert with a lot of scripture that we're going to be looking at today. But Proverbs 16, verse 25, and if you found your place in God's Word, if you would stand out of the honor of the reading of God's Holy Word. Proverbs 16, verse 25. The Word of God says, "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we come as your children, Father, sometimes struggling with sin. Father, even as Will read this morning, the sin that so easily besets us. Give us an understanding of the depravity of our heart. Give us an understanding of where those desires for sin come from. We pray, Father, that as we study the human heart, that you would help us to understand better the patterns of sin that have developed in our lives, that you might, through this, free your people, as you have promised to do. And Father, for those who have never found the satisfaction of the soul in Jesus Christ, we pray for their conversion even this morning. Open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things in your law. Guide us in your truth and point us to Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Over the summer, as we looked last week, we're taking a break from the Gospel of John, and we're studying what we're calling the disease of the soul and its cure. And we looked last week at a kind of a different way of looking at Scripture, which is true, and that is that we were created to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And that we are created for the joy and the pleasure and the delight that is found in God alone. We looked at how God's commands are for our good, not for him withholding blessings, but for our blessings, as his commands come in blessings. We looked at the command to be fruitful and multiply, how it's not written as a command, it's written as a blessing. We looked at how we as sinners, though, seek to fill our souls with anything other than Christ. And then we saw how Christ understands the disease of our soul and how he is the cure. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to be looking at man's search for pleasure. We're going to be looking at what Will read this morning about the pleasures of sin. Because as believers, as we talked last week, so often we come to faith in Christ, the changes come so rapidly. The sins fall away, the victory and the freedom come so quickly, and then it seems as if you just reach a moment where you just run into a brick wall where the switch is flipped. And then you sometimes fall into these patterns of sin, where loss of temper, where pride, where lust, where greed, where desire of praise of men, for gluttony, where laziness, whatever your besetting sin may be, it just seems like you go in a circle. And you may have victory for a week, 2 weeks, a month, but then it just comes back, and it comes back, and it comes back. And what I want to share with you this morning is to understand where all those desires come from. We all know it, where you wake up one morning and you're just mad. Where did that come from? One day you come home from work and, you know, you haven't had a drink in years, but you just struggle. Oh, you just want to go back to the drunkenness. Where did that come from? The loss of temper. You held your temper and you controlled your tongue and then you just blew it. Where did that come from? And what we're going to do is we're going to seek to understand where these desires come from so that we can, in weeks to come, see how Christ satisfies, fulfills, cures, and even turns off these desires. So we're going to begin, though, with Proverbs 16:25, and that is, there is a way that seems right to a man. Through sin, through the fall, through Adam and Eve's fall, and the sin nature that we have inherited, we are like someone who has fallen and hit their head and don't know which way is up. We're like a compass that has been plugged into, you know, another giant electromagnet. It doesn't show the right direction. Yet we perceive our internal moral compass to be right, even though it is not. It says north, but you're heading south. It says east, but you're heading west. It says this is right, but it's really wrong. How many of y'all have ever heard or even said to yourself, how can something that feels so good and feels so right be wrong? How many of y'all ever heard that? There is a way that seems right to a man. What we must understand is that there are going to be desires that we have that are wrong, even though our mind and our heart tells us they're right. We are broken. We have a broken moral compass. We have broken desires, and we have sinful desires. And what we must understand is that when you have that desire to lie, to steal, you have the desire for sexual immorality, for adultery. You know, I read an article the other day about a woman who was glorifying in her adultery and said, adultery is not always wrong. Because I was able to cheat on my spouse to find the man that I'm married to now, and that was a wonderful, glorious thing. And I wouldn't have found this man if I hadn't committed adultery, therefore adultery is right. And we look at that and we go, that's ridiculous. But don't you do the same thing with gluttony? Don't you do the same thing with losing your temper? Don't you do the same thing with refusing to forgive, hatred, pride? Don't people do the same thing with drunkenness, pornography? I just need to relax. It's been a hard day. Don't people do the same thing with drug use? There is a way that seems right to a man. Okay? It looks good when you sow it, but not when you reap it. There is a way that seems right. We need to understand that. Because so often when dealing and counseling with other people, this is not just for ourselves, but this is so we can learn how to help other people. Sometimes you'll find someone who is struggling with something like same-sex attraction, homosexuality. And you go, that's so weird. But to them, it seems so right. And you're struggling with someone who's struggling with their gender identity. I think I was born a man trapped in a woman's body. To us, that's absurd, but to them, it is reality. To them, it seems right, just the same way that adultery seems right to some. Drunkenness seems right to others. Pride, loss of temper. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, going from the sheet in your bulletin. How can something that seems so right and feels so right be so wrong? Well, the heart is deceitful above all things. Your heart lies to you. It lies to you incessantly. Your heart is a broken compass that says, trust me, I'm pointing you in the right direction. And it's lying to you. It has lied to you your whole life. This is what is so ridiculous about all the movies, is just follow your heart. Your heart is a bigger liar than every politician you've ever known. And that's a really big lie. Your heart lies to you about everything. I just know it's right. In my heart of hearts, it's lying to you. What we have to understand that when we, and this ties into our desires for sin as Christians. Because it's just the same way if you've ever studied like nutrition in the human body. You wake up and you really are just craving junk food, right? No, you're not craving junk food. Your body's craving essential vitamins and nutrients that you'll never find in junk food. But you know what your brain interprets that craving as? Junk food. You wake up and you got a headache. I need caffeine. No, you need to go back to bed or go to bed early. What happens is our body misinterprets that. And we know this. We know this. This is why Americans are overweight. Because we misinterpret all the signals. What would make you think that the moral signals of your heart are any more correct? It feels so good. Your heart is lying to you. It's broken. It's depraved. Notice it says the heart is deceitful above all things. And then it says desperately wicked. And so often we read desperately wicked this way. That the heart is really, really, really bad. That is true. But it also means something different. And that is that it is desperate for wickedness. That the heart craves evil the same way you crave junk food. The heart craves that which will bring about evil and pain. The heart craves it. Have you ever woken up Or you've ever gone through life and you've gone like, why does my body, my heart, why do I want to hate this person so much? Why can't I ever seem to find victory over this? Why does it seem like no matter what I do, that there is this force drawing me back into this sin? How many of you have ever felt unable to conquer a sin? Pornography, lust, whatever it is, it's almost like a magnet and you are like just being sucked. And no matter how much you grab or claw, you are going to fall. You go 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, you haven't lost your temper, you think you're in the clear, and then BAM! You get rolled over and you go, where did that come from? That is our experience as human beings. You know why? Because our heart is desperate for wickedness. It craves it. It's like a magnetic attraction. It's like gravity. You can run and jump off the highest cliff, and you may fall a whole lot longer than you would if you just jumped off the ground, but you are going to hit the bottom because gravity is there. There is something within us that is broken, something within us that is depraved, something that's within us that craves and is desperate for sin. Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Notice that. Everyone has the same brokenness, but not everyone has the same brokenness. Everyone has the same inclination to sin, but not everyone has the same inclination to the same sin. And this is very important when we talk about evangelism and sharing the gospel with other people. You know what? Some people struggle with racism. And some people struggle with drunkenness. And some people struggle with homosexuality. And some people struggle with pornography. And some people struggle with spiritual pride. And some people struggle with greed. And some people struggle with telling the truth. And you know what happens? I jumped off one building, you jumped off another, and we're both getting ready to splat on the ground. And we look and go, ha ha, you're dumb for jumping off that building. It's what we do. We look down on the person who has control issues and ignore our pride issues. We look down on the glutton, but ignore the porn addict. We look down on the homosexual, the person who's had an abortion, but ignore the person who refuses to forgive, gossips, and slanders. Please understand, the human condition is universal. Listen, a man with a brain tumor, one man may have a brain tumor and it manifests itself in migraines. Another man may have a brain tumor and it completely shut off his vision. It's the same disease, different symptoms. You see, the disease of the human soul is sin. And though it manifests itself differently in other people, the cure is always the same, and that is Christ. And what we have done is we have begun to judge symptoms as being worse than others. Oh, he can't see because he's got a bad brain tumor. At least I only got migraines from my brain tumor. It doesn't matter. It is the same disease. It is the same cancer. And it manifests itself differently in other people. And this is why we're commanded not to judge, but to deal with our own sin. Because we have an inclination to judge ourselves by ourselves, and the Scripture says that's not wise. We have a tendency to look down on the person who hates what we love, but we are okay with the person who loves what we love. Where we're okay with the person who sins like us, but not like the person who sins differently than us. What we have to understand is it's all symptoms of the same disease. You see, that we have a wrong view of the law of God. The law of God is not a stairway to heaven. Just keep the Ten Commandments and you'll be okay. You can't keep the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is like a giant thermometer. It's like symptoms. You know, you break out with a rash, and so you type it in on Google. You know, what's wrong with me with my rash? Okay, the symptoms of the disease of your soul are sin. The Ten Commandments is just symptoms. You know what? If you don't honor your father and mother and you commit adultery, there's something wrong with your soul. You know what? You got a little bit of pride and greed within you, there's something wrong with your soul. You have control issues, anger issues, there's something wrong with your soul. It's all symptoms. Sexual immorality? Oh, the homosexual, they're much worse than the guy that looks at porn. No, it's just symptoms of the same disease. And we have to understand this. Because what we've done is we've come up with, well, there's AA Anonymous, and then there's NA Anonymous, and there's SA Anonymous, because we have all of these different diseases that we have to treat. No, it's the same disease, it just has different symptoms. And when we begin to treat alcoholism or drunkenness as a disease, all we're doing is treating the symptom, not the disease. And when we begin to drink porn addiction, and we begin to treat that as the disease, all we're doing is treating the symptom. And this is why Christian people find themselves in cycles of sin, be it loss of temper, be it pride, be it judging others, whatever it may be. Right? And I may not have named your particular sin this morning, but you know it. You say, well, I wish you'd preach a series on how to get over that sin without me telling you that's the sin I struggle with. That's what we're doing. Because it's all the same. It's all symptoms of the same disease. And like we looked at last week, you can pull all the apples off the apple tree and they'll still come right back. The issue is something far deeper within. Notice this in Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one. Notice that in verse 11. There is none that seeks after God. This is huge. This is very important. We as human beings have a craving within our souls. A craving that only God can satisfy, yet we will seek to satisfy that craving with anything that is not God. And everything that is not God. We are convinced that what we need is sex. We need to be married. We need to be married to somebody else. We need our husband to lose some weight. We need our wife to exercise more. We need a cleaner house. We need a nicer car. We need a promotion at work. We need more money. We need a new government. We need new this. We need new that. And we are convinced that if I had that new house, if I shot this big a deer, if I owned this rifle, if I drove this truck, if I had that pair of shoes, that we would be satisfied. And we seek to satisfy the longings of our soul with anything but God. That is your problem. And that is the problem with every human being that has ever lived. That is what sin is. Sin is seeking to satisfy the longings of the soul with the temporary, momentary pleasures of sin. When you were not created for the pleasures of sin, you were created for the pleasures of God. You see, all sin is a perversion of that which is good. Please understand that. People say, what's wrong with homosexuality? What's wrong with fornication? What's wrong with sex outside of marriage? What's wrong with those things? It's all a perversion. God is the only creator. The devil doesn't create anything. All he does is pervert that which is good. All sin is a perversion of that which is good. In other words, when you go and you go home and you're just, I gotta have something, you go through and you end up settling on junk food. What that is a perversion of a real desire for food. But it's the desire for real food that you pervert and twist. All sin is a perversion of that which is good. Lying is really a perversion of the truth. Sexual immorality is a perversion of the love that should be between a man and a woman in marriage. Okay? All sin. Pride is a perversion of how you perceive yourself. Okay? All of it is a perversion because the devil can't create anything new. All he does is take what God has created and destroy it or twist it or pervert it. And we have to understand that we have desires that are twisted, that are perverted, that we interpret incorrectly. And to understand this will help you find tremendous victory over sin. Notice this in Jeremiah 2, verse 13. My people have committed two evils. We never think of sin as a two-edged sword. We always think of sin as one thing. I told a lie. That was bad. Okay? I dishonored my mom. That's bad. I killed somebody. That's bad. We think of sin as one thing. But notice how Jeremiah portrays sin as two things. Sin is a double evil. Notice what it is. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Notice the way he portrays sin. Sin is not just I did something bad. Sin is far more than that. Sin is, I thought if I stole from the store, stole from my employer, that would satisfy my soul. That's what sin is. I thought that if me and my girlfriend crossed the line, that we would have happiness and joy. I thought that if I looked at this, watched this, did this, that I would be fulfilled and satisfied. And that is one part. But the other part is, in doing so, I turn my back on God, who is the only one who can satisfy. All sin is a rejection of the permanent pleasure found in God to seek the temporary, momentary pleasures of this life. It is walking away from a well with a bucket filled with holes in it. You can walk, but the farther you walk away from the well, the drier and emptier you will become. You see, the issue is not alcohol. That's not the issue. The issue is not even drunkenness. The issue is that instead of seeking to satisfy your soul in God, you have sought to satisfy your soul in something that will never satisfy it. That is all sin. And I don't know what your particular sin is. Be it pride, be it greed, be it controlling, be it manipulative, be it lying, be it stealing. Every sin is seeking to satisfy the longings of the soul with something other than the only one who can satisfy the soul, and that is Jesus Christ. All sin is the same. Just because someone is seeking to satisfy their soul with the love of a man doesn't mean they have a different disease than the person trying to satisfy their soul with the love of a woman. It is the same disease. Someone trying to find satisfaction in sex is no different than the person trying to find satisfaction in money. The person trying to find satisfaction in money is no different than the person trying to find satisfaction in religious pride and people in the church thinking they're spiritual. It is still the same disease. John 4 is one of the greatest passages of Scripture for helping you understand why you crave sin. Notice this in John 4. Jesus meets the woman at the well, and he asks her for something to drink. And they have this little interaction, but notice this in verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that says to you, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman says to him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof, and himself and his children, his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water I will give him shall never thirst. The water that I will give him will be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband." Notice this. Jesus uses a real physical need to show that the physical need is not the need. The need is spiritual. Here is a woman. Okay, she comes to the well at noontime. Why do people go to wells in the middle of the day? Now, yeah, we go, okay, we understand she's a social outcast and the ladies would come early in the morning. Okay, but let's back up, stop. You're thinking too much. Why do people go to a nice, cool, crystal clear body of water in the middle of the day? They're thirsty. Okay, she's thirsty. So she goes to the well to get something to drink. And Jesus says, your problem is not that you are physically thirsty. Your problem is that you are going from man to man to man to man trying to find satisfaction for yourself. Oh, her problem was adultery. No, remember, adultery is a symptom. Oh, her problem was she was divorced and remarried. No. Her problem was that she just kept leaving man after man after man. No. The problem is she was living with the man. No. Those are all symptoms of the disease. The issue was that she was spiritually empty, dry, and parched. Let me illustrate it to you this way. I can make every single person in here drink raw sewage right out of the toilet. All I have to do is put you in the desert long enough. You wander in a desert long enough, you will swim in a sewage plant. You walk in a desert long enough, and you find a truck stop, you'll drink right out of the toilet. Say, no, I'd never do that. You haven't been thirsty enough. Here is a woman who is thirsty. And she thinks if she drinks out of the toilet, that she'll be okay. Oh, I'm going to tell you this right now. I've never done it. Just being honest, never done it. But if you went about 3 days without water, and you drank out of a toilet, it would taste good. It would. It would taste wonderful. The pleasures of sin for a season. Sin is pleasurable. But what would happen if you drank out of a toilet? You would get a disease that would make you horribly sick and you'd probably die. Whatever a man sows, that will he reap. But you know what we have done? As opposed to addressing why am I drinking out of the toilet, we're in stall number one, which is pride, looking down on the person in stall number two, which is homosexuality. You're both drinking out of toilets. Does it really matter which stall you're in? But that's what we do. We drink out of the pride of greed. We drink out of the toilet of greed, and then we look down on the person who drinks out of the toilet of pornography. It's the same thing. Here is a woman that we would look down on. How many times has she been married? Oh my goodness, hide your husbands. Run from this lady. I mean, she is one of those women. Yet Jesus speaks to her. Why? Because the issue is not that this woman is a predator. The issue is that this woman is starving. And she thinks that a man will satisfy her. The problem was her previous husband wasn't good enough. The one before that wasn't wealthy enough. The one before that was too old. The one before that didn't have a good sense of humor. Do you know how it goes? You will never be satisfied. So what Jesus shows this woman is so good for you and I. You are thirsty. If I just had better behaved kids, you would be just as empty as you are today. If I just went to a better church, you would be just as miserable. If I wasn't single, you would be just as miserable. Don't drag someone else into your misery. Okay? But that's the way we are. That's the way we look at it. If I just drove a newer car, you would be just as empty. Well, if I just had $1 million, I'd retire. No, you wouldn't. No one has ever done that. Because once they have $1 million, they want two. Well, if I had $1 billion, once they had $1 billion, they'd want $2 billion. If I just had a younger, more attractive woman to sleep with. Have you ever noticed the guys who do? Never are satisfied. You know why? You weren't created for sex. You weren't created for money. You weren't created for cars. You weren't created for houses. You weren't even created for marriage and children. You were created for God Himself. And nothing else will satisfy your soul. But it feels so good and I long for it so much. Of course you do. You have a depraved heart. It's thirsty. But what it's thirsty for is not toilet water. It's Jesus Christ. Notice this. I want you to notice something that is bizarre. It's absolutely amazing. Verse 28, John 4. The woman then left her water pot. Why do you go to a well at the middle of the day? You're thirsty. She left without ever drinking water. Skip down. Okay, the disciples come. And verse 31. The meanwhile, the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. They go into the town to bring back food. He said to them, I have meat to eat you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus says to him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus doesn't even eat. He's not hungry anymore. How does someone who is physically thirsty cease to be physically thirsty and someone who's physically hungry cease to be physically hungry? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You struggle with gluttony? There's your answer. You don't need food. You don't need drink. You don't need money. You don't need a house. You don't need clothes. You don't need to be married. Have you ever noticed? We have this thing in our mind. If I had better health, I'd be happy. If I was just younger, back in the prime of life. Can we just stop for a minute? Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, was filled with joy even at his crucifixion. Would you stop for a minute? Here's a man who's in his 30s and single, yet he has joy. A man who is celibate, who doesn't look at porn, doesn't have a girlfriend, never had the love and affection of a woman, yet is completely satisfied with joy. Whose body is physically racked with pain, yet is filled to overflowing with joy. Here is a man who is so poor that he had to borrow a penny for a sermon illustration, who doesn't even have a pillow or a hole in the ground to sleep in, yet is overflowing with joy and happiness and pleasure. Here's a man who's being crucified naked. He doesn't even have clothes, and yet he is filled with joy. That is because he has God. What is the thing that grieves Jesus Christ? My God, my God. Why have you forsaken me? He didn't say, why all this pain? Why do I have no money? Why do people not like me? Why aren't people praising me? Why don't I have new clothes? Why couldn't you make some beautiful woman fall in love with me? Why am I 33 and single? None of that! But he was satisfied. Why? Because you were created for God. That is it. Have you ever noticed you can fish all day and you can catch the biggest fish in your life, and you know what you'll do 2 seconds later? You're going to throw the line back in the water. You kill a big buck, the next day you're in the same sand. Why? Because you were not created for that. You were not even created to be married. You were created for God. Can you glorify God through hunting, fishing, marriage, everything? Yes. But if you try to find satisfaction in those things, you will be sorely disappointed. Keep reading. Matthew 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets and stone them which are sent unto you, how often would have I gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. That is the explanation right there of your sin. As Jesus Christ stands there, reaching out to you, and you seek something else. You know, Michael's got a whole bunch of chickens, and we got little chicks and everything, and it's amazing to watch those little hens, because they will go and they'll scratch up food, and then they'll cluck for their chicks to come. And all that little baby chick has to do is follow its mother around. That mother will take care of it. It will never go hungry. It will never be thirsty. Okay, a hawk flies over, boom, the wings come out and they cover the chicks. Why? Well, that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. You are hurting. You are longing. You are desiring. You want. You're craving. But if you come to Christ, every craving would be satisfied. You know, some people say, you know, I'm going to struggle with this sin the rest of my life. You will not find that in Scripture. I'm not teaching Christian perfectionism. But there is true deliverance from lifelong habitual sin in Jesus Christ. But it begins by understanding where those desires come from. You are not craving toilet water. You are craving living water. And when you have that feeling that comes over you where you just want to lash out and seize control, you want to lash out and lose your temper, you want to just let somebody have a piece of your mind, when you have that desire to steal, that desire for greed, that desire for porn, that desire, whatever it is for you, what is really happening is you are thirsty. You are thirsty. Don't drink out of the toilet. Go to Christ. We're going to talk about this in the weeks to come on how to come to Christ and how to be satisfied in Him. But I want you to understand where those desires arise from. Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You're tossing and turning, worried about this or that. You're sitting there and you're restless. I get this way. You can ask my wife. I get this way. I'll just sit there and kind of like twitch because I want to go outside and it's raining. I want to go do this. I want to go that. You know, I loved our vacation this past week. It was great. But Saturday morning I was twitching because I was ready to come home. I get that way. I get restless. But you know the secret? Is that coming home won't satisfy that. Being able to go outside and mow the grass won't satisfy that. Being able to go hunting, fishing won't satisfy that. Having all the kids in bed and finally having a moment of peace and quiet will not satisfy that. That's why Jesus says, "Come to me." Okay? Notice what he says. "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest." For what? For your soul. Rest for your soul. I want you to notice these two quotes that I put on here. These are great quotes. It'll help you understand who you are. If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. I would change that to say that we were made for someone outside of this world. There is nothing in this world that will satisfy you. I know when you're young and you look and say, "Oh, I just can't wait to get married." You will feel the exact same way after you get married. Well, then we'll have to have kids. You feel the same way after 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have to stop at 6, but I know some of y'all it's 10, 11. You still feel the same way. Why? Because they will not satisfy. If you seek satisfaction in marriage, you will be sorely disappointed. If you seek satisfaction in children, you'll be sorely disappointed. If you seek satisfaction in money, you will never be satisfied. You seek satisfaction in sex, you will never be satisfied. Seek satisfaction in the same sex, opposite sex, another person, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether the person's mother, father, brother, sister, husband, spouse, whatever, it doesn't matter. You will not find satisfaction in anything in this world because you were not created for this world. And you need to understand that when you have that feeling come over you, and you know what I'm talking about, that feeling where you're getting ready to lose your temper, and you just want to lash out. That feeling where you're going to go and look at something on the computer. That feeling where you're going to go to the grocery store and get you a case of beer. Whatever that feeling is for you, you need to understand what that is. Is you're about to go drink out of a toilet when living water is promised you in Christ. Notice Augustine. I love Augustine. "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord. And our heart is restless until it finds its rest." That is the disease of your soul. You were not created for anything other than Jesus Christ. Please, I beg of you to not just listen to this, but to really go home and meditate on this and pray through this over the weeks to come. You know the sins that beset you. You know the sins that constantly creep up in your life. And you need to ask that the Lord would open your eyes and give you a true moral compass so that you might understand that the desires that you have are not desires to look pretty and lose weight. The desires that you have are going to be satisfied in God. That it is not for the praise of men. It's not for a second helping of mashed potatoes. You can eat a second and you'll still be just as empty. You can eat a third and you'll still be just as empty. You can keep eating and eating and eating and eating and you will still be just as empty as when you sit down at the table. Oh, it'll feel good! The pleasures of sin for a season. What you need to do is you need to ask for the Lord to open your eyes that you might begin to see the cravings of your soul are not a search or a craving for physical things of earthly pleasure. But what it really is a craving for God. It is a thirst for Him. Because you were created for Him. And so when you feel that restlessness come over you, which we all do, and that restlessness comes sometimes when you're watching the news. Oh, if only so-and-so would get elected, you'll be just as miserable, I promise. It's the truth. If only this would take place, you will be just as restless. You will find satisfaction for your soul in one place, and that is Jesus Christ. Something we'll talk about in the weeks to come, but I will leave with you as a thought. The quote that literally changed my life, by George Mueller, and that was, he said, every morning he read his Bible till his soul was happy in God. Before he ever prayed or asked for anything, he would read till his soul was happy in God. You know what happens when you're happy in God? You're not thirsty for anything else. When you swim in the clear, crystal water, the toilet is not very appetizing. Can I tell you, it is possible for the desires you have for sin to be completely turned off. I know for men it's normally lust. It is possible to have the desire for sexual lust go away. It can. But it will only be when you satisfy your soul in Jesus Christ. There is no book or Bible study or program. It is only a person. And his name is Christ. Application is very simple. Would you begin to not trust your heart, but trust the Word of God and begin to understand the cravings of your soul? And ask the Lord to reveal to you some clarity as to why you desire what you desire, so that you might see how it is a perversion of a desire for God, a desire for closeness with Him, a desire for the joy and pleasure that's found in His presence. And when you begin to ask Him to show you how to find Him and how to find that satisfaction for your soul, and then would you pray for others? Because you are going to encounter children, friends, family members, neighbors, co-workers, who are craving things you have never craved. Well, I guess it's more proper to say you have craved them. It's just been a different toilet in the same bathroom. And would you pray that the Lord would give you an understanding? I've been able to use these illustrations and these texts to help many people find victory over sin, to help many people find Christ. Why? Because they finally understand what is going on within their soul. And they finally are able to see that, you know what, even if I lived with somebody different, I'd still be just as miserable. Even if I got $1 billion, won the lottery, I would still be just as empty. Would you come to Christ? Oh, Marty, you're a Christian. Well, you're drinking out of the toilet. Would you come to the living water? Would you come to Christ and be satisfied in Him?